Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Roterson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. It's something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian will be guiding us through the Acts of the Apostles, and in preparation for this fascinating series, we've been looking at a lesson entitled The Purpose of the Church, which is taken from Matthew chapter 16. So let's follow along with part two of this study as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
So Jesus said that he was going to build his church. What is the primary purpose of the church? Why did the Lord decide to build this thing called the church? Why didn't he just come and save us and take us out of this place? What is his purpose for leaving us here in the world? That's an important question. And of course, there's been a variety of answers that have been given to that question. And I think there's been a lot of confusion over it. But I think as we look at the book of Acts, I think we're going to really discover through our study of the book of Acts what God's intention was when he decided that he was going to build a church. So, what is the purpose of the church? Titus 2:14, I think, gives us the answer. In Titus 2:14, Paul the Apostle, he said this. He said, Jesus Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. That is really an answer to the question. Now, there are other answers and there are other things that we could point to as the purpose of the church, but I personally think that based upon the book of Acts, the purpose of the church is just as Paul stated here, that Jesus Christ would have a special people here on the earth that were zealous for good works, that he could have a people here in this world that were committed to serving him and to accomplishing his will, to getting his plan carried out in this world. So, a people zealous for good works. There are many good works, but the one good work that encompasses all the others is the work of evangelizing and making disciples of all nations. And I think as we look again at Acts, that is what we're going to see. That was the thrust. That was, I think, the purpose that the early church leaders had at the forefront of their mind. They knew that they were to spread this message all throughout the world. They, of course, had been given what we call the Great Commission by Jesus Christ himself. Jesus had said to them just prior to his ascension, he had said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. That is what was at the forefront of their thinking process. That is what they set out to do, and that is what, to an amazing degree, they accomplished in a relatively short amount of time. And that's what we're going to see as we get into the book of Acts in detail. Now, they did this by really doing three things. We're talking about the purpose of the church, which is the fulfillment of the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations. How did they do it? They did it in three ways. They did it by preaching the gospel, by teaching the word of God, and by exhortation to the people of God. And we want to look at each one of those individually and really just see if we can get a clear picture of what they were doing and of what we are to be doing today as well. So they were, first of all, preaching. What does it mean to preach? We talk about preaching or preachers or, you know, but what is really the biblical understanding of preaching? Well, preaching is the proclamation or the announcement of the good news. And the good news, of course, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the message that God has forgiven our sins through Christ, and that we can come into a relationship with God and inherit eternal life by simply putting our faith and trust in Christ. So preaching is a proclamation or an announcement of that good news. And then we see that another purpose of the church was that of teaching. Preaching and now teaching. Now, the difference between the two is that where preaching is directed primarily at unbelievers in order to bring them the good news so they can come into the kingdom of God, the family of God, the body of Christ, teaching now is directed primarily toward believers with the intent of bringing them to maturity in the faith. And so once we preach to people, then we have the responsibility of discipleship. As we read there from Matthew 28, go into the world and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things that I have spoken to you. Now, the church prospers and flourishes under the teaching of the word, and that's what was happening back in the very beginning, and that is what is to be happening today. And as we look at Acts, as we go through it, what we're going to see over and over again is really that the book of Acts is the model for the church. It's the only portion of Scripture that gives us a close-up and personal view of what was happening in the church. Now, why did God record that for us? I believe with all my heart that he recorded it so we would have something to follow. So we could look at that thing and say, okay, that's how it works. This is the way it's supposed to be done. You know, it's more than just, you know, here's a few principles and let's, you know, apply this and we'll see you next week sort of a thing. And as I began to think about it, I thought, you know, where is my passion? My passion right now is for everything that we have in Acts. My passion is for getting the gospel out. My passion is for seeing churches started. My passion is to see the Holy Spirit work in a greater way in my life and in our lives collectively as a congregation. And so we want to have that word from the Lord. We want to have that message. You know, you could obviously just open the Bible and teach from any passage, because it's all God's word. But remember when we were talking about the subject of spiritual warfare and we talked about the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and we talked about the rhema of God, that Greek word meaning a specific word from God. And I really believe, and I've always believed this, and I've always tried to function according to this, I believe that the Lord has specific things that he wants to say to us at specific times. And so my prayer all week has been, Lord, what do you want to tell us? What do you want to communicate to us as a group of people that are coming together every week? And I think he said, I want to communicate through Acts. So here we are. But we go on to our third point of what they were doing back at that time and what we are to be doing today. I mentioned they were preaching, they were teaching, and then exhortation. Now, what is exhortation? Well, if preaching is to the unbeliever and teaching is to the believer, exhortation has the passion of preaching, but the application of teaching. So what exhortation is really that helping of the people of God to apply what they're learning. You see, you can be taught in as much as you can get some information passed on to you. But the information that's passed on to you needs to be assimilated and applied into your life, right? And that's where exhortation comes in. So we're not simply just telling you things about what God has done for you. We're not just laying out the dry facts, if you will, but we're actually taking those truths and saying, now this is the truth, and this is how it impacts your life. This is how you apply it. This is what it means. This is how it works itself into your daily experience. And that is what they were doing in the early church here in Acts, and that is what we are to be doing today. We're receiving the teaching, and then we're applying it to our lives so that each and every one of us are functioning in our God-ordained capacity. You see, because the thing that we've got to realize as the church is that the church is made up of many members, not just one. And that each believer individually is a member of the body of Christ. And as a member of the body of Christ, each one of us have a function. Each one of us have something to do. There are no spectators in the kingdom of God, or at least there shouldn't be. God has not called you to be a spectator. He hasn't called you to come and just sit in church and watch somebody else exercise their gifts. God has given you gifts, and he's calling you to take and to exercise those gifts for the furtherance of his kingdom. And that's what exhortation is all about. It's all about helping you to understand how this truth applies in your life so you can put it into practice and you can play your part in the overall work that God is doing of expanding his kingdom. So every Christian has a gift from God to share with others. That is the teaching of the scripture. And in Acts, that's what we see. We see the gifted evangelist. We see the apostles. We see the prophets. We see the pastors. We see, you know, the Peters and the Johns and the Jameses and Paul and Barnabas and Apollos and these people. But then we see Aquila and Priscilla, a husband and wife team who are tent makers by trade, who just happened to meet Paul on an occasion, and then they become a ministry companion with him. And we see other individuals like that. We see young and old. We see people, just different people in the church of Jesus Christ, coming together, and we see them all working together in those early days to establish the work of God. And that's the thing that we want to see today. And so exhortation helps us to understand our gifts and to stir up our gifts. Some have prophetic gifts, teaching gifts, encouraging gifts, gifts that are more on a verbal level, been gifted by God to just come along and really communicate in a way to people that'll strengthen them, that'll comfort them, that'll build them up and prod them along. Others have gifts like mercy or helps or hospitality, giving, leading, administration, things like that. The Bible talks about gifts of administration. And you know, I misunderstood that for so long. I used to think of administration in more of a modern sort of a definition of it. You know, when I think of a person who's an administrator, I think of a person who basically sits behind a desk, pushes a pencil around all day, you know, makes sure everything's in order in the company and all that sort of thing. And so administration always to me sounded like a thing that I never wanted to even be involved in at all. And you know, the funny thing was, a few years ago, when the Lord was speaking to me about leaving England and coming back here, the Lord said, I've given you the gift of administration and I want you to go use it. And I thought, well, that's a good reason why I don't want to go. Lord, I don't want to go sit behind a desk. And I'll never forget, one day I was out in this place where we used to go to do our outdoor ministry. And we were setting up to do this outreach. And I just, all of a sudden I thought, you know, the last thing I want to do is trade this in for a desk job. You know, because that was my thinking. But the Lord, one night he spoke to me. And he said, Brian, you have the wrong idea about the gift of administration. You don't realize what it is. And then the Lord just began to minister to me about the gift of administration. And the Lord showed me that the gift of administration is not sitting behind a desk pushing a pencil, but it's the ability to sense that I'm doing something. It's the ability to sense when I've got my hand on somebody's life, and it's the ability to put those things together so I can get my will accomplished. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, I've given you that, and now I want you to go apply that. And then the Lord just started in my mind putting all of these things together, putting this ministry and this person together, and this person and this ministry, and this ministry and this person. And I was marveling, and I thought, Lord, all right, the gift of administration. I like that. Administrating the things of the Spirit, what the Lord is wanting to do. He gives us, in a sense, advanced information on that, and then he gives us the power to go and implement it, to see that it's carried out. And so we all have gifts. We all have different God-given abilities, but they are all for the one larger purpose of building up the body so it can become stronger and stronger, and it can carry out that grand purpose of the church, which is the Great Commission, the making disciples of all nations. And you know what? It's just amazing when you sit back and think about the players in this and the contributions that are made. And so often, so much of it is carried on in the background. You know, when you come to church here, generally, you see, you know, just a few people, don't you? In the sense of, you know, there's a few guys that are up here in the pulpit sharing the word with you. We have the pastors down in the front, so you'll see them there. But, you know, there are hundreds of people that are always working behind the scenes so that everything functions properly around here. Now, most of them, you would never know that they're doing what they're doing. But let me tell you, if they stopped doing it, you would know it real quick. It would be a disaster around here. But you see, each one of those things are very important to the overall functioning of the ministry and to the ability to advance the kingdom. So God has given you a gift, or perhaps several gifts. And God wants to stir those gifts up in you, and the exhortation ministry is to help you realize that God's called you and gifted you, and to help you know how to implement what God has done. Now, some will use their gifts more outside the walls of the church. And here's something that I think we make a big mistake in thinking. I think we make a big mistake in thinking that the gifts of the Spirit, oh, that's what happens when you dim the lights and you have an afterglow. That's a major mistake. I almost think we should just throw out the afterglow. Because, you know, we are to be ministering the gifts to one another when we gather together as God's people. It doesn't have to be a dim light setting, mood music playing. It doesn't have to be any of that. It's just as we come in together, and as we see each other, and as we pray with each other, and as we share with each other what God's doing, who knows but what prophecy is taking place right there, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, perhaps healings are going on, administration, all kinds of things are happening, mercy, giving, leading, all of those things, they're happening as the people of God come together, but they're also happening as the people of God go out. And as we look at the book of Acts, we'll see that many of the gifts were operating as the apostles went out into the community. God would work. He would perform miracles. He would heal people. He would do things, dynamic things. Prophecy would take place as they would speak and so forth. And so the gifts of the Spirit were happening both as they would go out into the communities and, of course, as they would come together. And that's the way it's going to happen with us. Some of us will use the gifts more outside the walls of the church because we spend more time out there. That's where you are. God's placed you out there in the workforce somewhere. God's set you in a neighborhood somewhere. God's got you connected with a group of people somewhere. You're going to see the gifts of the Spirit working in that environment wherever you are. But then God has called some of us to be more involved at the church, quote unquote, the building, the place where we come together. The church, of course, are the people. But you know what I mean? He's called some of us to be in this environment. So then obviously the gifts would function more in this context. But everyone, to a certain extent, will use their God-given gifts in both arenas, both as the body of Christ gathers together and as you go out into your respective duties and responsibilities that you go out into. So, what is the purpose of the church? The purpose of the church is simply to turn people into followers of Jesus Christ, to make them disciples. And we do that by preaching the gospel to them, announcing it, proclaiming it, however you want to describe it, through gifted evangelists, through ordinary Christians. And then we take them and we teach them the truths of the Word of God. But we don't simply leave them there just with that information. Then we exhort them that they would take that and apply that to their life and then step into those things that God would have for them as well. That's the purpose of the church, and that's what we're going to be looking at in detail as we go through the book of Acts. So I'm excited about the book of Acts. I hope you are. I would ask you to continue to pray because, you know, each week when we come together on Saturday, like I said a moment ago, I want the Lord to meet us here. I want Him to speak to us. I want Him to take a portion of Acts, you know, 4 verses, 10 verses, a chapter, whatever it's going to be. And I want Him just to speak to us that are gathered here, that we could be instructed by Him, and that the things that were happening there could happen among us. And boy, was it exciting. You know, there was never a dull moment back in that period of time. It was one exciting thing after another. There were great manifestations of God's presence and His power. There was great opposition to that. There was persecution. There was adventure. People were going out and spreading the gospel, and all kinds of great things were going on. And I pray that as we get into Acts, I pray that we could get into some Acts as well. We could have some serious acts of the Spirit happening all around us and right here among us and out into wherever we're going. So we'll look forward to that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You are speaking to Your people today. And Lord, we thank You for the fact that You've given us an understanding, a clear picture of what You intended when You brought the church into existence. Lord, as we read tonight, You intended to set aside for Yourself a people zealous for good works. And Lord, as we've seen, we know the great work, the best work of the good works is that of leading people to Christ and discipling them and seeing them raised up to lead others to Christ and to disciple others. So Lord, to that end, help us, we pray. And Lord, as we embark upon this study of Acts, we pray that You would really meet us here each and every week. And Lord, as we read about the great things that were going on back there, I pray, Lord, that it wouldn't just be history, but it would be our present experience. That, Lord, You would work mightily among us. We ask You to do that. Lord, not for our sakes, but for your sake. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor Brian has been providing us with a couple of foundational studies for his upcoming series, in which he'll be guiding us through the Acts of the Apostles. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us again next time as he talks about the power of the church. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Purpose of the Church. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT-3102. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian, or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.